From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. It's not just students. Schools also get report cards. To name a few, test scores, attendance rates, and graduation rates. These numbers generate a huge amount of data. But for many parents, navigating this information can be challenging. Joining us now is Carolyn Jones. She's the K-12 education reporter for CalMatters, a nonprofit newsroom which partners with public media stations across the state. Carolyn has been digging into the fragmented data system that's leaving parents in the dark and what can be done to make school performance easier to understand. Carolyn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What school performance data does California make available?
Just about everything you can possibly imagine. We have attendance, graduation rates, suspension rates, all broken down by 13 different student groups that are identified, test scores in English language arts and math. The list just goes on and on.
And how does California share the school data with the public?
Well, there's at least five, probably closer to 10 or even a dozen different websites that present this data, which can be really challenging for parents to try to figure out how to find what you're looking for. The main portal is the California School Dashboard, which was unveiled a couple years ago, and it is very user-friendly and kind of breaks things, all the basics down. But if you want to dig a little deeper, it can be really challenging to find information.
And let's talk about that, because you've been reporting on some of the criticisms of the California School Dashboard. What are those?
The main criticism is that schools are given a little bit more credit for showing progress, which means that even though their scores might be really low, they might rank higher on this color-coded dashboard thing that they have. So it can be a little bit misleading. Like, for example, a school that has absolutely terrible rock-bottom math scores might actually score an orange if those scores have inched up slightly, whereas a school that has better scores might score a red, which is the lowest thing, even though their scores are higher. So it can be really misleading for parents. And the other big criticism is that the dashboard doesn't actually tell you what the real test scores are. It just grades based on how far away from the quote state standard. And it's hard for parents to figure out what that standard actually is. So there's kind of a lack of context there. And then the third criticism I've heard a lot is that it's very difficult to see year over year trends, which is really valuable information for parents who are trying to evaluate their kids' schools. You have to kind of go back and reset the little drop-down menus and all that. And you basically have to create your own graphs.
So I would imagine for parents that just want to do a quick look, and there's this, I saw it's like a gauge, like a meter gauge, and blue is the best one, right? And so you can look and you just hope that your school is mostly blue, or if it's in the red, that's bad. But for anyone that wants to look a little bit further into this stuff, you just can't?
Well, the information is there. It's just on different websites, and knowing where to go and how to find it can be really challenging for parents who have a million other things to do, and also aren't totally sure what information is important to them. So it's not super intuitive, correct?
So what are the other websites? I think you mentioned there's four additional websites that provide these snapshots of everything from bullying to the condition of school facilities. I mean, what are these sites, and are parents even going to them?
Yeah, there's at least four. I mean, the main ones, the ones that I go to a lot are DataQuest, which is has information about, that's kind of the go-to place for, information of statewide information down to the local school. And you can check everything from suspension rates to, why students were suspended. I mean, it gets very granular and it's very useful. The other one is the Smarter Balanced Test Score webpage. There you can really drill down into test scores. Another one is the California Healthy Kids Survey, which I always find very interesting. You can find out about bullying at schools or things like, do kids feel safe and secure when they come to school? What is the substance abuse situation look like? So there's a lot of information there about campus climate and student mental health and so forth.
How did we get so fractured? I imagine that parents would love just a like one-stop shop to get all these different sets of information about, the quality of the school just in one spot.
Well, it used to be, yes, there used to be less data. So it was easier. But then as technology has gotten better, we've gotten more and more and more data. And plus, there's been more requirements, federal requirements. The No Child Left Behind Act back in the early 2000s required states to do a better job with data and report more data to the federal government. So that's kind of where we started getting just, more of an avalanche of numbers. And then CalPADS, I hate to even bring up CalPADS because it's so in the weeds, but that's sort of that's the system that houses all this data. And that came about around the same time. And then when California switched to local control funding about 10 years ago, that's when we came up with the dashboard as a way to give parents even another, one more tool of for accountability. So that's how we got to where we are today.
So we, I remember No Child Left Behind. That was early in President George Bush's term, right? And that was the first time that we really exposed like what the test scores were, and that was all standardized tests. Remind me, and schools were like docked points, or were they competing against each other once we found this out?
Yeah, it was based almost entirely on academic achievement. And that's sort of the role of data to begin with, and making it publicly accessible is you want accountability. It's a way for the public to see, okay, how are our kids doing? How are our schools doing? So that was the thinking behind it. There was some real pushback against that because there's, some people thought it blamed teachers for problems that were a little bit beyond their control or challenges that were beyond their control. And also they said, well, there's other things going on at a school besides just test scores. We should look at how well they're doing over time, or what's the campus climate like, what's the suspension rate. And so that's sort of how we came to get a more nuanced picture of what's happening at schools, which is what the dashboard is supposed to represent.
And then, as I recall, President Obama really fueled this stuff. He had his race to the top, and that was using this data in a whole new way. Was that like kind of adding gasoline to this?
Adding gasoline, also adding accountability. I mean, there's kind of different camps on this. Some people say more data, the better. It's how we really understand how students are doing and how schools are doing. But then there's another camp that says, kids, we're you can't put numbers on some of this stuff. We're trying to quantify things that might not be quantifiable. And there's plenty of schools. I mean, I myself have visited schools where kids are excited to learn, the teachers are great, the campus climate is wonderful, but then the test scores are terrible. And you think, well, what's going on here? Maybe the data is not quite right. So there are different ways of viewing the data for sure.
Well, it would seem in those more economically disadvantaged schools that you'd really want to hone in on progress, right? Because that's something that you can see where good teachers are helping, lift their students up. And why would that be difficult? Wouldn't that just be like a line graph with an X and Y axis, and you see if the needle's going up over time?
Right. Well, some states do it that way. And those states got an A in this report that was put out recently by the Center for Reinventing Public Education. California got a D because it's so difficult for parents to see year-over-year progress. So, yeah, it's something that they really dinged California on and said that, we should be doing a better job with that on the way we present data.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters reporter Carolyn Jones about how California presents its education data and why it can be difficult for parents and educators to interpret. So, Carolyn, you mentioned that we received a D, which is pretty bad. What data did the experts look at to hold schools and districts accountable?
Well, what they said they want to see is, it should be really easy for parents to see year-over-year trends, no matter what they're looking at, whether it's suspension rates or math scores or absenteeism. They also want to see actual test scores. Right now on the California dashboard, you don't see the actual test scores. You have to go to a different website and drill a little deeper. Right now, we just do this thing where we say distance from standard, which is vague and parents don't quite understand it. What does that mean? And they want to see, it should be easy to find different subgroups. Like, for example, if you want to see how, Asian American students are doing on English language arts or math scores, you should be able to find that information easily. In California, again, we don't present, you know, you have to drill a little bit down to get it. And then another thing they want to see is that it should be easy to use, easy to understand. It should be intuitive, and it should be clear to parents too, what information is important. I mean, we have so many billions of numbers out there and parents don't have time to sort through all this. We should make it clear to them, what do they need to know when they're looking at their kids' schools?
And has this been troubling for the state? Is this the people that are putting these websites together? Are they open to feedback? Do you think they're going to be making changes based on this feedback?
Oh, yeah. They make changes all the time. They're always tweaking it and trying to make improvements. And when I talked to them, they said, yeah, we're always open to feedback and criticism, and we'll take this into consideration. And they do make annual adjustments. They talk to parents, they talk to researchers and experts to try to kind of, you know, perfect it a little bit more.
I want to make sure that we touch on the ultimate impact of this data, which can be hard to understand. So starting with the schools themselves, what happens to a school and their staff if the school gets a reputation for being poor performing?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, for one, it could mean that parents don't want to send their kids there, so they might have enrollment problems. Funding in California is based on attendance, and so that would mean less money for the school. It could be a place where teachers don't want to work. It could be a place where the community isn't particularly proud of that school. You know, a good school, a school that's functioning really well, it has great test scores, and kids want to go there and feel safe, and parents are supporting the school. I mean, that can uplift an entire community. And you see that over and over, no matter what the community is. You see a place where you know, people feel connected, and it, you know, boosts property values. The local businesses get involved. There's lots of volunteers. It's something that's a real hub of a whole community. So, yeah, it could make a big difference, not just for families and students, but for, you know, neighborhoods and even a whole town.
And so what about the schools that actually are performing poorly? I mean, one would think that they need the most resources, and this kind of positive morale that you're talking about with involvement from the community would seem like it'd be the most important. So what happens if that does happen, or if the poor performance just isn't identified soon enough because of, you know, data that's hard to understand?
Well, that's what I heard from researchers. During COVID, you know, the policy experts and researchers and academics came out with a million reports that said, oh my God, things are terrible. Kids are disengaged. Kids are not learning. This remote learning has resulted in, you know, millions of students falling behind, you know, these really alarming reports, but they weren't seeing a lot of response from parents because of that. And they started to wonder why. And then they interviewed a bunch of parents and came up with the idea that one reason is that parents didn't understand the data. They couldn't find it. They didn't know what to look for. They might look at their kids' report cards and think, oh, my kid's getting mostly A's and B's, which, as we know, because of grade inflation, particularly post-COVID, might not be the best indicator of how well a student's doing. And so parents think, well, you know, kids are resilient. The schools have my kid's best interest in mind. I'm not going to pay too much attention to test scores and these other indicators. And so the experts really wanted to kind of raise the red flag a little bit that parents maybe are not accessing this data as much as they should. And that's why they really wanted to take a look, like, well, you know, maybe this data is not being presented that well.
So let's talk about what parents can do. There may be parents listening to this. They're thinking, oh, what's the website that I should go on? What can I learn about my school? Can you remind us how to find this dashboard and the other websites you think the parents might take an interest in?
Sure. Yeah, they're all, you know, if you go to the California Department of Education website and you just look for data and statistics, all of their various websites are listed there. And also in our story that we wrote at calmatters.org, we also list, you know, many of those various websites. Another place is you can go to your child's school's website, and they should have their accountability report card posted there. That's a good place to look. And then the California School Dashboard, if you just Google it, it comes right up in all its many colors. I think, you know, parents should definitely be looking at test scores. And if the test scores at their child's school are not what they expect, you know, they should go to the school board. They should talk to teachers. They should talk to the administrators and find out what's going on, particularly if you know, there's a subgroup of students that are not doing as well as others. It's, you know, like children in special ed, for example. It's, you know, definitely worth paying close attention to that.
And that's to say, if you don't have a child in special ed, it's still an important indicator?
Yeah, it should be important for everybody, for sure. You know, no matter who your child is, and for the public, for that matter. I've heard some parents, you know, I interviewed a bunch of parents for this story, and some said, you know, if you don't pay close attention to the dashboard, you might not really know what your kid is learning or not learning until it's too late. Your kid might be in high school and you realize, you know, he or she doesn't have the math scores that the math skills that they need to really thrive in high school, for example. Or they might, you know, if you're choosing a school for your child, which in many districts in the state you're allowed to do, you know, you want to pick the right school for your kid. You want to pick a school where you think they're going to thrive. And a good way to learn more about that is start going through the numbers. So yeah, there's a lot of things that parents can and should do to be more informed about the schools.
Carolyn, thank you for sharing your reporting with us. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Carolyn Jones is the K-12 education reporter for the nonprofit newsroom Cal Matters. We've been talking about the difficulties in deciphering California's educational data. Up next, the Sacramento Walk of Stars holds its gala tomorrow night. We'll revisit a conversation with one of the honorees, former NBA champion Bill Cartwright. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.